Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 7378037776 if you want to get in here. Yeah, you can just Google Pro Football Talk and Jack Easterby, and it has the story of Jack Easterby changing his resume. Apparently, well, he had said, apparently, originally on the website, the Texans website, the claim is that he served as assistant to the director of football operations, when in fact, he was an intern in Jacksonville. Now it says, Easterby gained his first NFL experience in the summer of 2004 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, helping in football operations and public relations. That's what it says now, when earlier it claimed he was assistant to the director of football operations. It's neither here nor there. George O'Leary lost his job at Notre Dame because he a false claim on his resume, which, okay. Apparently in 2006, the Vikings dumped personnel director Fran Foley, who allegedly exaggerated his job titles at the Citadel, Rutgers, and Colgate. And Foley claimed he was a coach when he was actually had been a graduate assistant. Okay. I mean, yeah, I mean, being accurate on your resume, I mean, but the Texans claimed that that's not why they hired him, that's unimportant to them. So, that, you know what, they were aware of it, actually. They oversaw the changing of his profile on the website. So, if the Texans are okay with it, then why should anybody else be?
Well, who are the Texans? Jack right. Easterby?
Yeah.
We reached out to the Texans, and Jack Easterby told us, it's not important to us.
Right.
Wait, we're talking about you, though. I know. We don't care about that.
Yeah.
Wait, Jack, you shouldn't be the one telling us that you don't care about this.
Absolutely. Getting Dana Holgorsen in here on ESPN 97.5. Dana's got a game tomorrow night.
All right.
All right. So give him a call on his cell phone, though, Dana. I thought he said he was calling us.
I thought the game was Thursday night.
Game day is what
you
told him.
Oh, yeah. And he's coming on tomorrow, right?
Today's
tomorrow.
Tuesday. I thought he was on tomorrow.
Oh, no, he's coming on Wednesday next week. He's coming on this week, Tuesday. Remember? Yeah, I texted you.
I don't think that's what the
you
text
said,
is.
I'm telling him. You said you'd call us, or no?
Just say, I thought you said you was all right, Spider.
I thought you said Spider.
Just say that. Here's the name that I think is going to be a very interesting name that should be put into existence, and that's Dabo Swinney. And Dabo Swinney, we know, is good with Deshaun. When you saw the video with Dabo Swinney congratulating Deshaun on his big contract, there's a magic between those two guys. There is a real love between Dabo. And the thing with Dabo Swinney is he gets guys bought in. People buy into his culture. Now, can he work from a college head coach to a pro head coach? I don't know, but you know, he succeeds with a lot of – he needs a strong personnel guy, a really good personnel guy with him. But I think Dabo Swinney might have a chance to be a really good NFL coach because I do think that he can be not an X's and O's guy. He can be a CEO of a team. I really think he has a chance.
Yeah. No, that's what you need is a CEO now.
He needs a CEO who can get guys to buy in, who want to get out there and play for him. In a way, he's like a Pete Carroll.
Well, and how about this? I think it says a lot about him that Brett Venables has never left.
Right.
You know, that he's not running through guys. Uh-huh. I know, like Saban just runs through guys because they can't, because he wears them out.
It's too much.
Yeah. Wears them out. And he this is a guy who Brent Venables has had plenty of opportunity to move on, and he just doesn't want to.
Right.
So I think that absolutely says something about him. Dana's joining us right now on ESPN 97.5. Big coaching news around, Dana. It's a crazy day yesterday. I don't know if you heard as you're getting ready for your game.
Well, we're actually going to play this week, guys, so kind of focused in on getting our guys ready to play.
Yeah, I heard. Man, I'm looking at teams like SMU. They played like 12 games already, and you guys are sitting there watching and just going. And I'm going to tell you this, Dana. Holy crap. The league looks pretty damn good. I mean, when you're looking at some of the scores from around the and you're seeing the teams that they're beating, Central Florida goes down. Tulsa actually looks like a pretty good football team. You think, and by the way, you got BYU coming up next week. They look like a pretty good football team. Memphis and SMU, that was probably the best game of the weekend. The AAC so far is showing pretty damn well.
That ain't a whole lot different than what it was last year, honestly. I mean, if you look at our 12-game team roster that we played last year, six of them were ranked at one point during the season. I think five of them were ranked when we actually played, and seven of them were ranked, like, throughout the course of the year or whatever it was. It isn't any different this year. You know, our draw in the American was, once again, pretty tough. You know, we got to play a lot of these games on the road, too, so I'm going to take advantage of a couple of home games here to start the season. But you know, we're at SMU, they're 4-0. We're at Memphis, you know, they probably should have beat SMU. We're at Cincinnati, they're a top-10 team. You know, so we're at Navy, which going to Annapolis is never going to be easy. So, once again, the league's tough. You know, not quite sure how I feel about it. We're playing teams that have played 3 and 4 games and we haven't even played yet. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of college football, but anxious to see what our team does here Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, the one thing we saw, though, is teams who are just getting back on the field, the biggest issue was tackling. I mean, the biggest issue was tackling. And, Coach, you know that – I know Urban Meyer said during the broadcast that they did a 7-year study that the most important thing, the biggest impact on winning was tackling and missed tackles. And is there anything that you can do to tighten up tackling other than just getting out there and doing it?
Well, and that's the problem there, Lance. I mean, you can't sit there and tackle each other every day. I mean, there's NCAA rules and regulations against that, one. And two, you know, our team has been disappointed the last couple of weekends by not being able to play. The worst thing I could have done is say, go put some pads on. Let's go play tackle football. I mean, they would have killed each other, you know. So, you know, I think we've managed it the right way. We weren't one of these teams, and Tulane was one of these teams that tried to play like week zero, tried to play like week one. So they've been going since, you know, mid-July. You know, they've been tackling since mid-July. They've had pads on since mid-July. You know, I don't know what that means. Does that mean that they're going to be wore out, or does that mean that they're going to be, you know, a lot more physical than us and be able to tackle better and be able to get off the blocks better? Or does that mean that we're going to be fresher than them and be able to, you know, be able to run right by them maybe a couple of times or something? I don't know. I've never been more anxious than I am right now going into game one. I can assure you that.
I bet. So what have you done? I mean, you were up like the day before Baylor has to bail, and then the week of, you know, the North Texas. So how do you address the? I mean, they're so looking forward to play. You've been with them now for months, getting ready for this for the first game. How have you handled the last couple of weeks?
Oh, it's been challenging. I'm not gonna kid you. I mean, it's been very challenging. I've been very proud of our coaches, and you know, I got a lot of older guys that really want to play. So they've done a good job of keeping the team together. I haven't worn out. You know, we haven't practiced too much. I think we're spot on with how many times we've been out there practicing, how many times we tackled, and what was a very abbreviated camp. What we try to usually get done in 3 weeks of camp, we got done in about 6 weeks. You know, trying to pinpoint that week three is our first game. Then obviously, you know, that kind of got ripped out from under us, which when it happens at the last second, that's never fun for anybody. And then the next week was North Texas, which happened on a Wednesday. That put us in a bad spot. So, you know, just gave them a couple of days off and you know, encouraged them just to stay safe and stay healthy. We've done everything right up until this point, and our time's coming. You know, I said, John, this probably 3 months ago. I approached our conference and said, why don't we do what some of these other conferences are doing and just take care of our league. Our league is strong. Our league has done things right from a testing perspective. Our league has ranked teams. Our league is relevant. I'm not quite sure why they didn't listen, but, you know, they wanted to play as many non-conference games as they can, which more than half of them ended up getting canceled anyway. But once you get into conference, that's just kind of when it matters. You know, Memphis was in a really bad place about a month ago. That's why they had to bail. That game got rescheduled for December 5th. We're running out of Saturdays to play, so these games are going to be played. You know, and it's a lot easier to deal with your conference than some of these non-conference opponents.
Dana Holgorsen brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. It's where we watched the games yesterday. We're going to watch the Astros yesterday, and we're going to watch them again today. If you want to come on by, it's on 18th Street right there at 610. You get I love the Greek wings. You can get the baked wings. You can get the Greek salad or all the nachos, and they've got the queso, excellent. Barbecue queso, excellent stuff. So come watch the game with us today over the Astros, who lead one game to none. And then, of course, you got the Shepherd location just north of West Alabama. So Dana Holgorsen brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Dana, talk about how much different does this team look than last year's team, what with the kids that have left the program and the new kids that have come in, either recruited or transfers that have come in?
Well, I don't really want to talk about anybody that's left the program. I mean, there's specific reasons why people leave, and I support some of those reasons and don't support some of the other reasons. And then there's, you know, guys that there's addition by subtraction a lot of times as well. You know, just being a new program, when we came in, I mean, there's some things I felt like we need to do from a roster perspective, and, you know, we're ready to go. You know, we've handled COVID well. We continue to handle it well. There's been three tests a week for the last 6 weeks, and we've been spot on with that. You know, we didn't, and I hope it doesn't hurt us. That's the one thing that I'm anxious to see. You know, Lance mentioned tackling, but I mentioned just the overall physical nature of how the game's supposed to be played. You know, Tulane's offensive and defensive line is their strength. So, you know, I'm curious to see if we can match that, you know, just because that's what hasn't happened from us. I mean, we've got after each other in practice and stuff like that, but they've had three full games to be able to do it. And I don't know if that's ever happened where you go into game one where one team's played three times and one team's played zero. But just the physical nature with how, you know, I feel like the game needs to be played is the thing that I'm kind of most curious about. But there's going to be a lot of new faces out there. There was a lot of time, put it this way, there's a lot of times last year where I traveled and dressed around 60 players, and we're having a hard time getting that number down to 75 right now, just because we're healthy, we're ready. We got a lot of kids that haven't played. We got a lot of kids that started last year that won't start this year because the other guys coming in taking their jobs. I just developed a lot of competition, and I'm excited to see those guys go out there and play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I mean, you got a lot of new faces this year, especially defensively, right?
Yeah, especially in the secondary. You know, I mean, you got, you know, Javonte Stewart will start. He's a transfer from West Virginia that I've seen play that played at a pretty high level in the Big 12. He's from Katy. You know, he's going to play the nickel spot, which is where Grant Stewart played last year, which allows us to move Grant, who was an all-conference player last year, into inside linebacker, where he will, you know, be able to be a little bit closer to the ball and plays very physical as well. Marcus Jones is a corner who is all Sun Belt at Troy for 2 years, was an All-American return guy. Sat out last year because of the transfer thing, and he looks different. You know, excited about watching him. Got five returning starters in the secondary, and three of them will start and two of them won't. So, you know, excited about that. Just overall depth. You know, there's guys like, again, that were able to find some starting spots last year that aren't exactly going to be able to do that this year. I think our D line is a lot better, a lot deeper, a lot more physical than they were a year ago. Hopefully, we can get to the quarterback as well.
Yeah. Oh, you saw your receivers on your watch list.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. He's talented.
He's
he's really talented.
Really, really talented. So we'll see how that works out. So we'll let you go. We got This is a busy day for us. We appreciate you, man, and we're going to be out there.
You,
we'll be out there on Thursday. Now, what do you? I'll have to talk to Pez, but I'll get the details. But how? What is it? 25% you guys are going to have the crowd?
Yeah. Which I don't know what that means or what that looks like. You know, I'm anxious to see kind of how it goes. You know, just as far as what the crowd looks like, how it's dispersed, what the in-game entertainment looks like. I've heard everything from loud music to fake crowd noise to pure silence. So we'll be ready for about anything. We have been able to practice some of that stuff, and but I know regardless of any of that, we're going to be ready to play. Those guys are going to be pretty excited. I got to get them settled down. They've been chomping at the bit to play and can't wait to watch the Cougars get fun.
Yeah, we'll be out there Thursday night at 6:30, everybody.
Good. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks,
Dan. 6:30. At TDECU. Let's go. Let's fill it up as much as you possibly can anyway. 6:30, it's an ESPN game, right?
Yeah, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. But there's a major hurricane barreling into possibly New Orleans. Now the game's on Thursday. It's not supposed to hit till Saturday. But I've seen teams are like, "Well, we need to get prepared for this major hurricane, so we don't want to fly out." Just be aware. There's a...
Well, then take a bus.
Is that Hurricane Delta?
Yeah. Take a bus. I'm talking about they prepare to get back. They don't want to fly in and not have time.
Oh, yeah,
that
would be a full evacuation.
Well, it's
a
Thursday, and they'll be back Thursday night.
I'm just saying, I've seen teams say,
they think
it'll
be a Category 4 in the next 24
they
hours.
They want to be home with their people to get prepared. I'm just saying.
Just something
it's
to keep
on the
in
radar.
Mind.
It's on the radar.
We don't need that on the radar, okay?
It's there.
Let's play football.
Something to keep in mind.
Let's play football.
All I am saying is be aware. That is a thing that Tulane might have to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll let Tulane deal with that on Saturday. Let's play football.
That is very understanding of you, John.
You don't want to put that on the record.
Let's play football Thursday.
We'll let New Orleans handle New Orleans.
Okay.
We'll see what they say. But nothing has been canceled or anything like that as of now.
Not yet. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, it's out there. We got it.
I'm just telling you. Let's play football.
Here's something else that's out there. Guys, we're 7 minutes past the break. Can you guys stay on break like I do? Texas Custom Patios helps you stay on break. Okay? This is what I do. I'm very meticulous with times in and out of shows. And they're very meticulous with their price structure. Because once they give you a quote, it's a firm quote. It never changes. If anything has to be redone for your patio or if there's anything that they have to touch up or redo this or redo that, which happens from time to time, it's all their cost. It's none of your cost. They also have a timeline that they stick to. Like, that's just the way the owner, Stephen Schell, is. That's the kind of guy he is. His CAD drawings and their design is impeccable. You see exactly what your patio is going to look like. And they've done so many projects that they can show you something that looks similar to what your backyard will look like before so that you can see what the after might look like. Their work is unbelievable. What they did to my patio was great. We had neighbors come over, and it was the first time that Rob's wife, Sarah, had seen our patio, and she absolutely loved it. Kids are out there eating dinner, watching TV last night. It's just a great way to make your house a home, and it looks unbelievable. Dollar for dollar value back when you sell that home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Check out their before and afters, and time for you to upgrade your home with TexasCustomPatios.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is Dodger Stadium the Astros' real home? I saw Idiot Hinch tweeted out, "It was smart to reactivate the system we had in Dodger Stadium." There's no system. How about that? This is just a really, they're getting back to hitting. And I'll tell you what, the Yankees, see the Yankees last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy crap. But the Astros, let's not forget that this lineup is supposed to be one of the best in baseball. I think we forgot that. with the way that they hit this way that Altuve, well, that Springer.
We've always talked about it. We've always talked about what if they start hitting.
Like it.
No,
it
no, no, no. They never did.
No.
But we always talked about what if. And even into the playoffs, what if. And I said they would sweep the Twins because I thought they would get pitching and I thought the hitting would show up enough. I didn't. Yesterday was different. Yesterday was, this feels exactly like every other year has felt.
Nope.
I mean, Springer, to every field, was hitting right field, center field, left field, was seeing a great Correa with two home runs. The ball was traveling out, obviously.
Yeah.
That was McCullers turns one time and goes, what the? He turns and did his glove, and he looks into the dugout, and then the announcers kind of picked up on it, because I don't think Carlos' first one was mashed. The second one, I think, just kept carrying. Alex Bregman mashed one out. Like, the bullpen, once again, they went to Javier. They double bubbled it.
Yeah.
They went Javier and, and Nolas Paredes, who, man, he looked good yesterday. He was throwing, he had some juice at the top of the, he was going high with his fastball, top of the zone.
He's got a whip. I love
God,
that.
God, when he's good, he's really good. And then you went Javier. Great job by Javier. Didn't overuse him. You got him again. He's a bullpen guy now.
Yep.
You got him again, and then Presley did his job.
Yep. And
this
and
is
Taylor.
The second game in a row. And Blake Taylor.
Yep.
This is the second game in a row that Ryan Presley did his job.
How about the bullpen now is kind of a strength, I want to say.
Oh,
I don't want to go out on a limb, but look at what they did. Well, because Fromber and Javier.
Yeah, but they tighten it up.
But they have tightened it up quite a bit. And, you know, now it actually looks like a strength. It didn't feel at all. Man, I thought, holy crap. I can't believe that McCullers got out of that second and third and nobody out. Because it was like, dude, pull him. What are you doing? Pull him.
I don't know how Dusty stayed with him. I was shocked.
And kept it at 4-3.
And pitched the next inning.
Yes. But
Dusty, basically, that's Dusty acknowledging, son, you got to pitch because we can't eat up all our innings with our bullpen.
Well, 5 innings of shutout ball yesterday. Again, more shutout ball for the bullpen.
You got to go 4 for us at least.
Holy crap, that the bullpen is turning into a positive when all we know in the postseason from the bullpen from all of these years is that it's going to explode. And what we saw the bullpen this whole season, what the hell? Well, we saw the bats all season. What the hell?
Let me ask something. Did you catch the smile on Alex Bregman's face from the bullpen when they're showing, not the bullpen, the television from the
dugout?
The television crew, the camera flashed to him, and he's got a smile. He's talking to somebody out there. Jose Altuve. Like, it felt like...
Yeah, they're having fun again.
It felt like the way... When Jose... I was like, man, everything's great if Altuve could just come through with a hit. And when he got that base knock to left field, I'm like, oh, my God. It's everything. Everything has happened.
Did you see before the game?
Brantley, by the way, RBI single as well.
Did you see before the game, DraftKings had Altuve 1.5 hits over was plus 200.
That.
Under was like minus, it was stupid. It was like minus 4 something. And I was like, that's not the way that you, but the heavy favorite was the under hit and a half.
Well, it should have been.
And he got, well, but look what he did.
Yeah.
He had 2 hits.
So, John, so is there a chance that 2 things? Number one, that they do have great feelings in, like, that's a team. Yuli was there, Bregman, the whole core of your team, other than Brantley, was there in 2017 of your lineup. Is there a chance that they just feel good in that park, that there's something about the park that it just brings back good memories subconsciously? And then number two, that maybe that Twins series, getting a sweep, maybe got some swagger back?
Yeah. No, I think both of those things. Again, playing the A's in Los Angeles as opposed to Oakland is a huge, huge advantage.
My son Alec came to me in yesterday. He goes, Alec's the one who's 16, and he goes, Dad, could the Astros win the World Series? And I said, no, son, but this is still much more fun to watch. They can't win the World Series, son. The Yankees and the Rays are going to be ugly to take on in the next series, especially the Yankees. But, no, they can't win a World Series. But what they can do is make baseball enjoyable.
Well, getting to the ALCS again,
I would love it.
Hey, this is a run of four straight years.
And basically to do this to the A's, like you A's.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, y'all beat us in the regular season. Who cares? You know what? The A's aren't used to beating the Astros. They got used to it during a pandemic. Ooh, big deal. This is the playoffs now. And look at the A's just pucker. Yeah. Pucker up, A's.
Jackie says, Dusty said it. Might as well embrace being the villains. And Correa showed them it's okay, too. And you know what? It is okay.
Yeah.
All right? It's okay. You know what? Okay, we're the bad guys.
Just go play baseball. Quit worrying about what you are.
Who gives a rat's ass? You know what? They're smiling. They're having fun. They're knocking it around the park.
Right.
They're pitching great. All of these things.
They're hitting
great. We
love
our Astros.
They're pitching great. So you know what you do? You tell them, yeah, don't serve any quesadillas or whatever it is y'all serve. Okay? Got it. Sheriff Blaylock Nachos. Got it.
828 ESPN.
Who said that?
97.5.
Who said that?
Fuzzy Baker.
But I turned it into an Astros thing.
I see that.
Reappropriated it for us.
I see what you did there.
We got it back. Sorry, Fuzzy. We got it back.
Whatever. The normal meal is a quesadilla. It's been served. Anytime someone doesn't pick a meal, they serve quesadillas.
They serve refried beans and quesadillas somebody doesn't pick a meal.
Not going way far to besmirch some guy's name for a bit, Lance, once again.
Stop. The two ends. That's very specific to one caller.
Can I please not get John back on Twitter again?
What do I care? He's muted. I don't see it.
He's muted for you? All right. And you know who's not muted for me is Jeff Aronoff. We were just talking about Aronoff yesterday, as a matter of fact, and what he's doing. He built the bar at Damaris Barbecue. He's the one that put that bar in, and it's awesome. It's perfect. And if you're looking for that kind of workmanship, this dude is blowing and going. He's nonstop. He is hijinks and hilarity in the building business. He's doing hotels. He's doing entire apartment buildings. He's unbelievable. He puts in the countertops or the vanities for entire apartment buildings and hotels. It's just nonstop. It's a big job. So if you got a big job, what do you need done? What do you want done? Your entire outdoor patio? Yeah, that's it. That's Jeff Aronoff will get that job done for you. He is a spectacular. And if you're looking for that kind of workmanship and you're looking for that kind of somebody who can actually be the architect for the whole thing, who's somebody who will actually contract that whole thing, but help you pick all of the stuff that you need, then that's Jeff Aronoff. That's what he's here for. All you got to do is give him a call and let him start the process. Get 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome.
That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Like I said earlier, I mean, they've been forced to grow up and learn, some valuable lessons the hard way sometimes. And that's on the job training, you know, at its best. But those guys, they came in, they did a great job against a offense, that was rolling pretty good. And, we got some big days out of George, and especially like Carlos. And, you know, that was a big two-out RBI single that Altuve got. And, we got some timely hits. And anytime you get those timely hits, especially two-out hits, you know, it gives you an opportunity, a better opportunity to win the game.
Absolutely. It was a little move, but it absolutely turned into a big move. Is moving Carlos up to sixth ahead of Yuli. That was interesting to see. Yuli struggled in the previous series against Cleveland. He hasn't been. He's not the same professional hitter that he has been.
Mm-hmm.
He did sign the extension, which is nice. You got Yuli around. But Carlos just is just hitting better. And oh, by the way, postseason Carlos is just better.
Postseason Carlos, man, he had his swagger yesterday. He was really on it. Hit the ball hard. Like every time at the plate, you had the. I think from a lineup standpoint, it's I don't care about where they get shuffled. I just care that they are seeing the ball well. And we know that baseball is played in stretches where your play can be good, your play can be not good. The Astros had a long stretch and not good. If they're catching a run of games that are good, it's not unreasonable to think their sample size of hitting could end up being seven games. That's a lot. Seven games is small in the grand scheme of things, but it'd be a lot for a postseason. And that could happen where they just see the ball well and they got there. I don't see the A's starting pitching dominating you. I think they can be very confident against the A's starting pitching. And you know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see them get Mike Fiers' trick ass, get him out there, and then go ruin Gerrit Cole, at least for a game in the next round.
Yeah. How about they started everything in the sixth, the four runs with two outs after two?
Do you know that's how the Twins series was? Almost all the runs in the Twins series was with two outs. I think maybe it was every run was with two outs. The Astros are minus 220 now. $220 to win 100 to win the series after one game. And the A's are plus 178.
Well, not having Chapman in that lineup is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. I mean, because they went with the lefty and then they brought in Pinder afterwards. But Chapman is the key to that thing. He helps Chada. He helps. I'm telling you, Chris Davis obviously started it with a home run, but Chris Davis is strikeout or home run, and I ain't scared of him. I hate Grossman and Laureano, both guys who were here, and they're just pains in the ass. But this lineup isn't nearly as potent without Chapman in it. I don't think there's any question about that. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. If the Astros move on, they can beat the Yankees or Rays. It's seven games in 7 days. Everything's weird and wonky. You get on a roll, a team can be too far down before they catch their breath.
Yeah, there's some of that.
There is some of that, but the Yankees are going to be a big favorite. That Yankee lineup, I know our Astros are hitting right now, but it just seems like it's David and Goliath, those two lineups. I mean, it is just ridiculous up and down that Yankees lineup. There's never a break. And the Astros are getting pitching now and whatnot, but the Yankees start. I mean, the Yankees are putting up nine a game. They don't care about, I don't care how good a pitcher you are. We're going to put up a nine spot on you. So, and then Cole, I mean, they did get him for three yesterday, which is pretty nice, but he's still a beast. Let's face it, the Yankees are going to be a big favorite. Once the Astros get through this, I know seven games in 7 days. Are you sure that that's advantage Astros? You sure?
No, that's a lot of bullpen.
That's a lot of
You're going to have to go to bullpen.
And I don't think you can. Oh, 7 games? I'm not sure.
I don't see how baseball.
In 7 days,
that.
I'm not sure that you can put Javier in the pen.
Why would baseball not let you have a day off? Is one day?
No, they're going to have 2 days off during the World Series, but they're not no days off for this
for
week
ALCS.
And no days off next week either.
I don't get it. I know there's a time constraint, but at the same time,
well, it's in a bubble, so there's no travel, so just go play.
Yeah,
this is different, but this is so different than most postseasons where. We've seen before you play a game and then you get a day off, or you play two games and then you'll take 2 days off. Now, I mean, that's how when the Padres, we had a weird schedule against the Padres when they threw Kevin Brown.
Allegedly,
steroid. Remember, he started game three.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is so contrary to what the usual playoffs are. Sometimes you only need a 3-man rotation in the first.
Not advantage Astros because it does rely. You will have to rely on your bullpen more, and that's not a good thing. Like, I know you can quote stats, but we all know that your bullpen, the quote unquote bullpen, it's only the better players. Brooks Raley came in and gave up a run, so we don't want to see those other guys. We don't want to see Josh James, Brooks Raley. We don't want those guys coming in. Oh, it stops at Paredes.
Guess what? If they're not playing a role in this series, they're playing a role in the next.
Yeah. Presley, Paredes, Javier, and Taylor. And you saw them all last game. That's it. Those are the only four that I want to see. But in a seven-game series, that's just not possible.
What do you get out of Fromber today?
Oh, I expect Fromber to have a good game. It's basically a pick 'em today. I expect Fromber to have a good game. I think this is a lower-scoring game. A couple good pitchers on the mound. I think this is a lower-scoring game. But the ball was flying out yesterday.
It was. Manaea is 3-5 with a 3.27 career against the Astros. He's on 12 days rest. Is that a? I don't know that that's a great thing. He probably will throw harder, but will he have command? I think advantage for Amber here. You don't want 12 days of rest. You don't want to be working on 12 days rest when you got to hit corners. And by the way, that ump yesterday, whew.
Better than game two.
Twins. No, that was bad. Manny, all the Manny. Nice job, Del. Manny, the umpire. I love him. He was missing the outside corner. I thought Machete could get rung. Springer was none too happy. But he also hit them a couple of times on the outside. But you're like, thank you. Hey, listen, guys, don't mind up and down a little bit, but if you can't reach a ball outside, that's just not – you just can't – that's a huge advantage pitcher, and yet they still put up a 10 spot.
We saw Machete got rung up on a ball that was a bad low pitch. Like, you shouldn't have missed that one. The ump shouldn't have missed that one. But at least there weren't multiple challenges at first base on a back-to-back challenges where the ump got overturned twice on bang-bang plays at first. Where it was very, very obvious. Although I thought Altuve, I thought they might challenge the stolen base. They never even showed a replay of the stolen base where he got caught stealing. They didn't even show the replay. They didn't challenge it, didn't show the replay.
Well, he ran right off the field. He knew he was out.
Yeah, that was the one thing that I was concerned about. Is same thing with Will Fuller. I watched Will Fuller get up, and I said, this is incomplete. Because Will Fuller had no excitement getting up, and he immediately, somebody came to congratulate him, and he dapped him up, and he looked up at the screen. I'm like, this is all a bad... It's a really bad sign, what Will Fuller's doing. You didn't get a comment on it, Dabo Swinney. Do you think that is something, Dabo, from what I understand, has a relationship with Jack Easterby, which isn't, faith-based. That doesn't surprise me that much. Do you think that will be kicked around in the Texans building?
I think it absolutely be kicked around. Why wouldn't you?
If I were Dabo, I wouldn't want to leave. Dabo makes a ton of money. He's got a great situation.
Yeah.
He rules the roost in that conference from a recruiting standpoint.
He returns with Deshaun. Mm-hmm. All right. You got the Deshaun connection, but apparently a Jack Easterby connection. He's more or less a CEO there, right?
You got your money. He's kind of a good old boy version of Pete Carroll.
That's the kind of guy that you want in the building. A positive guy.
Culture guy.
I always say...
He's similar to O'Brien.
I always say, when a team fires a coach, if he's a defensive guy, they're going to go offense next time because that guy didn't work. This, if a guy's a masshole, you're going to go really, really nice guy. Okay? It doesn't matter if he's offensive. I don't even know what Dabo is. Dabo,
go the other way.
He's an offensive guy, right? I don't even know.
He's never reached coordinator level. He was a wide receiver coach. And they hired him, Clemson, when he was on another guy's staff as a wide receiver coach there.
Yeah. So he's neither, none of that. But what he is he's a really positive, nice guy. And so maybe that's the direction you go after you've had a masshole, right? Because you want to change the entire aura of your organization. I think Dabo would be a great hire.
Well, I do too. I actually do. I think he's kind of a long shot because you'd have to lure him away, which I don't know that would happen. But I do think that Easterby might look for someone who either the head coach or the GM, depending on how they hire it, who fits his personality as well. And I think Dabo fits Easterby's personality, the positivity, the upbeat stuff. That is more of a fit with Jack Easterby. There's still people getting used to us talking about Jack Easterby, who still don't know, like, really? Wait, what? Now, what's the deal with this guy? Y'all made jokes or whatever. Is that really? This is really a guy? Yeah. This is a guy who's in charge of your football team. He has enough power to get Bill O'Brien fired. You better start to know Jack Easterby. He runs the Texans now.
More than Cal.
Mm-hmm. No, Jack Easterby now runs the Texans. Jack has taken over.
Yeah. Yeah.
He took over for Bill. And Romeo Crennel is the head coach.
How this power coup turned out.
Do college coaches get hired to NFL jobs when they're not seen as having an expertise? I'm trying to think of guys.
I think it makes more sense. If you're just a CEO, because that's what you're going to do in the pros. You're going to be a CEO.
Logically fine, but I'm just trying to think, does that happen? Do guys who don't have a particular.
I don't know what Pete Carroll's. What was Pete Carroll's? I have no idea.
He was a previous coach. He was a previous NFL coach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a failed NFL coach, but I don't know what side of the ball he was.
I think he's a defensive
guy. Jim Harbaugh was a special teams coach.
John.
And John's considered one of the best NFL coaches in the league.
But he wasn't in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right. He wasn't a
I think Jack Easterby is going to go with what he knows. Jack Easterby is going to go with what he knows, either at GM or head coach or both, depending on how they hire this stuff. So you need to be aware of any Patriots connections. You need to be aware of any connections with Chiefs, potentially.
With God?
It helps. Ask Brandon Cooks. And then also who his agent I can't remember who his agent is, but he's also going to – be looking for his agent is going to put in front of him coaches that he represents. So Jack Easterby's agent is probably going to say, hey, this head coach, this GM. That's something to know because I don't think Jack has a ton of connections around the league. So it's going to be look for what you know.
And
Patriots, potentially Chiefs because he was there.
To answer your question, Pete Carroll was a pro defensive coordinator as well. Yes.
With who?
He was with the 49ers and the Jets.
And to answer your question, Chip Kelly was an offensive guy, obviously, out of college. And how'd that work out?
I'm not saying it's successful.
No, right. But do you have an – I think this is a weird situation that you don't really – I think Harbaugh is probably a better example of a – and John Gruden was a quality control guy that turned into a head coach. And he did work, obviously.
But he was an offensive
with Favre,
guy.
Yeah.
He was a quarterback
but
coach.
But he started as a quarterback. I knew him in there, up there, is quality
Cliff,
control.
Cliff, offensive, quote unquote, genius. I'm just trying to think when you pull from the college ranks, there's always some tag. Now, Jabba's a tag. He just wins a whole hell of a lot. So that's why you bring him in. But there's always, like Bill O'Brien, even though he was a coordinator with the Patriots, he's looked at as an offensive guy. Dabo's looked at as, he's a CEO and he wins a lot at Clemson.
And Nick Saban was a defensive guy, but he was looked at as a CEO, but he was miserable with Dolphins. He wanted to get back to college.
And then there's guys like Cliff who loves being in the pros.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you get both sides of
you
that.
You have more control in college, obviously. You have less control in the pros. Nick Saban, why would Nick Saban want to, and that's why Dabo may not want to go to the pros because he loses a level of control.
But he can always go back to anywhere he wants in college.
Well, he wants that, where he would go back. He could go to the Texans and just wait for Nick Saban to shut it down. Yeah. Because I think that's his dream job. 8:46 here on the bench. If you guys want to jump in on the Astros or on Bill O'Brien's departure, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. I want to tell you about my friends over at SiteJab. So at SiteJab, one of the things they do is make sure that your website is optimized for mobile viewing. That's really almost 80% of people who view the internet now do it through mobile devices, primarily your cell phone, also iPads, tablets. But, that's one thing to keep in mind. Your website needs to be designed that way. Also, they do a great job of hooking people up with e-commerce now. E-commerce has become a big part of the way that businesses make money is making sure that you have a point of sale right there on your website. So when people see something that they really like, you don't have that delay where they talk themselves out of it. You have a chance to go in there and get what you're looking for right from the point of sale on the website. That's a big deal. So, make sure that you visit with the experts who've done it for over two decades, and they've built some unbelievable websites for small businesses, medium-sized businesses, even large businesses. They can remodel your website or rebuild it from the ground floor up completely from scratch and personalized to what you want. And it takes just 3 to 6 weeks. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:49 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on Bill O'Brien, your thoughts on the Astros, whatever it is you want to talk about.
Let's go.
3780-377.
The Twitter was all abuzz after yesterday. People were so, man, there is an excitement in the city about now the Astros and the way they hit the ball combined with Bill O'Brien being gone. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
People are super excited about this.
Listen, I think sports, watching the Astros yesterday, and then now that you can root for the Texans again, I mean, it's like a giant cloud was lifted over this sports city. I really believe that.
Yeah.
There was always that gnawing in the back that Bill O'Brien is going to mess something, but Bill O'Brien it was so hard to root for him. I honestly, we started the game on Sunday, and I'm rooting for the Texans. And my buddy goes, "Are you really rooting for the Texans?"
Yeah, he couldn't believe you're rooting for the Texans.
I can't believe I'm rooting for the Texans. What do you mean? That's our team. What are you talking about? No,
so,
you can't.
How do you 0-4 certainly, but you said the cloud has lifted. So how do you approach? What's the successful season the rest of the way? How do you approach it?
Oh, I think that this is a lost season. They're 0-4. You know what? Anything that they do, quite frankly, Tim Kelly. I'll bet you that lift over him. I don't know, Anthony Weaver. I don't know how much Bill O'Brien was messing with the defense and the play calling and everything else. But Tim Kelly, let's see what he can do. You know what? Get the guy a shot.
Yeah.
3 weeks in, Bill O'Brien. Give me.
But speaking.
No. They didn't do that.
No.
Bill just relayed the call in.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
Why he lied? I wonder if that lie was a problem in the building. If like. Why are you lying about this? Just say you took over play calling. What are you doing? Why do you have to lie about that?
Just tell the truth. What?
Just tell the truth.
Don't do that. Oh. It is a little tough for those two new coordinators who are now at this point, auditioning for their next job.
Yeah.
In their first year.
That's good for them though. Now they don't have that.
I get what you're saying. There's no that overbearing presence, but there is no. You went in thinking, okay, Bill's going to be here as long as I do my job. I got some job security. Now you're like, all right, this is a test.
I
got to put a product on the field, or who knows if I ever get another one of these jobs again. Time to go to work.
Well, guess what? Then go to work. Then go down. It's time to go to work.
I don't feel like it's going to go
well. If you don't want that, then get out.
I don't feel like it's going to go well for you.
Then go sell insurance.
They don't have to do that. Maybe just become a position coach. I don't feel like it's going to go well for either one of them.
You don't?
No.
I don't know.
It's not a lot of.
Maybe you take the chains off and we'll see what he can do with Deshaun.
Well, maybe Tim Kelly may have a shot. What does Anthony Weaver have to work with?
Anthony Weaver doesn't have many players.
No.
I mean, that's just terrible. Anthony is here. What's up, Anthony?
Morning, guys. Great show ever.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. I want everybody to join hands in prayer with me again. I just want to say thank you, guys. Father God, for firing Bill O'Brien. Thank you, Father God, for touching the Magnera's heart to let them know what was going on. I just want a special prayer and to touch Dale's heart and the Dolphins' heart to please give us our draft pick back. Please, God, open their heart, disheartening, and just let them know that they screwed us so bad and the dummy Bill O'Brien that got fired. Hmm. Just to touch their heart and just be like, you know what? We're sorry. Here's your draft pick back. Continue your franchise. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, have a blessed day.
I've got an answer from Chris Greer on that.
It's not my job to do that.
It kind of is.
No, it's not my. It's not his job to give you your picks back. Sorry.
Well, no. Yeah. The guy, no, this right. Voids the trade.
No, that's not how it works.
No, you fire the guy who made the trade. It voids the trade. There might be a warranty on those picks.
No, not really, because it's been a
year? Second rounder, at least.
It's been a year. You got a year warranty. You fire. It's been over a year. Sorry. Warranty has expired.
Hmm.
It's not my job to do that.
They can't rescind that trade now?
No. In fact, the Dolphins have already used one of the picks, and your warranty has expired. You don't get the picks back. Sorry. In fact, your picks have just went up in value.
Huh.
Keep appreciating. Interim head coach, Romeo Cornell, who they pulled out of mothballs. Oh, Romeo, take a backseat. But now we want you to be the head coach's football team. I smell like a 3-13 season.
Mm.
I can smell it.
Ooh, you can stop. That's why you're talking about, oh, I don't know about these guys. I'm just.
Well, I mean.
He's just trying to give us the blues.
He's just hating. Let's get LSU Brian in. What's up, LSU Brian?
All right, guys, I got a couple things. I think the best case scenario for the Texans, I'm a Saints fan, but I want the Texans to succeed. I mean, I live here. So the best thing is I don't think they can because they do have enough talent, and the Jets are horrible. I think they may not win anything. But to get your picks back, I mean, okay, last caller, God's not going to just give you your picks back. So what you could do is you try to tank as much as you can. It's a good enough team to win games. You most likely are not getting the first pick. But, man, could y'all imagine if they did get the first pick? You don't need a quarterback. And there's another team that will give three firsts for Trevor Lawrence. So you could accumulate some picks if you just get, you know, a top two, you know, draft pick. And so as far as coach, man, I hope Dabo leaves. I hope Dabo goes to the NFL because that means more recruits going to LSU instead of Clemson. But you think Dabo better for Deshaun? I know it's his guy, but would Lincoln be a better developer of Deshaun? So that's what I got.
Well, the Texans can't tank for picks because that first-round pick belongs to the Dolphins. So you can't trade the Trevor Lawrence pick to anyone because it doesn't belong to you. But the other stuff, Dabo or Lincoln Riley.
I didn't understand. Was he talking about Texans getting Trevor Lawrence?
He was talking about tanking, but he acknowledged that the other guy, that you're not getting your picks back. I guess he didn't know they traded their first-round pick.
But they get the first pick of the third round if they tank.
That's going to get you three first-rounders?
You don't know. You don't know. Where's Bill O'Brien landed?
If he lands with
another team, you might be able to make a trade.
It seems unlikely.
No one's going to give him control of any personnel decisions wherever he lands. Nobody.
That's terrible.
Can you imagine if he goes to college?
I'd love to see him go end up in
Jacksonville. The Texan scouts try to go to his college, like, get out.
Oh, no, that'll be ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I just think we're just hearing the beginning. Like, more stuff is going to leak out.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be more whispers.
Yeah, no. There's going to be story after story about Bill O'Brien and the way he ruled with an iron fist over there.
Oh, yeah. People have been waiting to say stuff. Trust me.
It's going
to
get ugly. Still more and more stories bounce out. 713-780-3776.
I think there's going to be some firings, too, over in that building. They're going to root out some people that they think are not.
Well, you
already saw Jack Easterby already rooted out people that, the Texans got rid of people that, for whatever reason, some of it may have been Bill, some of it may have been Jack Easterby, I don't know, but they got rid of some, like, secretaries behind the scenes and stuff like that have been there a long time. I think there will be, Jack Easterby is going to remake this whole thing in his own image.
Who hitched their wagon to Bill? Because guess what? They're probably flailing in the wind right now.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Same way if you were a Rick guy, you had to.
Yep.
Or a Brian Gang guy.
Yep.
It was like, uh-oh.
Yep. Boy, you talk about drama. How about just have a football team?
Just get a football team we can watch. All the Oilers drama was on the field for the most part. Well, coaches punching coaches.
No, they had plenty of stuff. Helicopters, they had mooning at weddings.
It was more fun.
They had baby gate. They had the death on the freeway.
It was more fun than. Not that part necessarily, but then just like people ruining teams. That's not fun.
I don't know if you want to.
I'd watch every Sunday. People are like, Texans are on. That's not what you want.
No. On Sundays, the Oilers.
It's boring to watch Deshaun Watson. Like, who thought anyone would ever say that?
No, right.
Who thought anyone would ever say? I just like my homeowner's insurance because they give me a lot of different breaks on my homeowner's insurance. I get a bundle for this, and I get a discount for this, and I get a discount. And you know, that's just such a bunch of crap. you think you're getting discounts. Your rates are being raised on you year after year after year. I'm talking specifically to people who have had the same homeowner's insurance for 5 years or more. Go do this for me. Text the word money to 232323. There's no strings attached. But when you text the word money to 232323, TGS Insurance is going to send you a firm quote back from one of their A-rated homeowners insurance companies, and you can test that against your great, you know, company you've been with forever that has all these supposed discounts and see what the difference is. And I'm telling you, you're going to find out that you were paying way too much. The average savings is $900 for TGS Insurance customers. That's the average savings. And you can get a firm quote within 15 seconds just by texting. You're already texting anyway. So text the word money to 232323, and you can find out what you could save and how you could switch your homeowner's insurance to an A-rated company for less money at TGSinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.